Shemai a Croeso. Hello and welcome to this, the latest episode of the CC4 Museum of Welsh Cricket Podcasts. In this episode, we talk to 90-year-old Jill Matthews, who, as a young woman, was part of a very select group of women's cricketers who played the game in South Wales in the 1950s and 1960s. Jill, then known by her former family name Ayres, along with her teammates, kept the flame of women's cricket lit in Wales so that those that came later could shine. I joined her recently and chatted to her about her memories.
Well, first thing is, thank you very much for agreeing to come on to the podcast. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about you to begin with, where you were born and brought up?
I'm a Cardiff girl throughout. I was born in Roath and have never moved out of Cardiff. All my working life has been here.
And when were you born, Jill?
1934.
And earliest memories of home or of Cardiff?
Earliest memories, really, of playing with local friends out in the street games, which I always feel a pity that children of today have no idea what fun we had. School holidays of how many weeks we were out all day. We were next to the church. I was by St Margaret's Church in Roath, and the beginning of parks would go all the way from there, all the way through to past the Roath Park Lake, series of parks. So we'd go out in the morning. Our parents wouldn't see us till dark almost. We'd take a bottle of orange juice because it was, when I was playing, it was then the war, and we had our ration of orange juice. So we'd go out with a bottle of orange juice, jam sandwich, and we'd be out all day playing. That's my earliest memories.
And what kind of games would you play?
Oh, my goodness me. Anything with the ball. And when I think back, it was surprising how it came into seasons. You know, it might be cricket in the street, or then hoops came in, whip and top, various games. And they came in almost like a season, but nobody knew why. It just happened, it just changed. And of course, it got a bit older, there were roller skating. One of my biggest disappointments was I never had a pair of roller skates, but a friend used to lend me one, and we'd have one each and hop along. But yes, it was a wonderful childhood.
And boys and girls playing together?
Oh, yes, yes. There happened to be in the area more girls at the time, but yes, a couple of boys were always joined in with us, yeah.
And your family? Can you tell us a little bit about Mum and Dad?
My father was fairly ill towards the end of his life, and he worked during the war, after the war, going around disused airfields and things like that, closing them down and making them safe. So he went all over Wales doing that after the war. Because my mother never worked. Her father had a big shop on the corner of Newport Road and Broadway, which was quite a hub because there were four girls, or four very attractive, so it was the hub for the local boys, I think, so I gather. But yes, always lived in Roath.
What was the shop called that your granddad owned, do you remember?
Well, the name was Simon's, but it was a tobacconist kind of sweet shop.
And did you have brothers and sisters?
I had one brother, and he ended up as a rep for various companies, one of which was Johnny Walker. I still don't like whiskey, so that was all right. But he actually had he played the trumpet and used to play with St Albans band, and they always played at the Cardiff rugby matches before the match. And in fact, in the early days of the Wales matches, they would march around, and my brother became the drum major with the stick. He used to practice throwing the mace or whatever it was up in the garden, which was a bit difficult because the clothesline stretched across. He had to miss the clothesline throwing it up. So he did that, and then he had a small dance band, and he was in the City Hall in Cardiff, and they used to have Saturday dances. And it was the big thing there where everybody went to meet the boys and girls. And Graham had was there for a couple of years with the band.
Before we lose sight of it, the war, can you tell me a little bit of what you remember about the war?
Well, I can remember. I was in Marlborough Road Infants, due to go up to the junior school, which is on the same side, but that was bombed. So we had to then walk all the way to Roath Park School, which is quite a couple of miles on. So we walked quite a way every day to and from school. And we can remember that some Americans were sighted where this damage was in the damaged school. And you wouldn't know it, but the thing with youngsters in those days with the Americans was, so, have you got any gum, chum? And we've actually did that. You know, the soldiers would be there and the little kids outside saying, have you got any gum, chum? So that was in the war. And we also, we used to collect shrapnel. You know, bits that came from the bombs that scattered. And everybody had to swap, see who had the best bit of shrapnel. And there was also where, by St. Margaret's Church, a church house, and there was a barrage balloon in the grounds. So that was filled in the morning and would go up. And then they'd bring it down. So we had that to watch, barrage balloon going up and down.
And air raids were then?
Yes, we had an air raid shelter in the garden, which we never used. We always went under the stairs. No, so I was only thinking about that, how ridiculous that was. I don't know how solid the stairs were. But, you know, to go out into the garden, into this dark, damp thing.
Was it like an Anderson shelter?
Yes. Yeah. It was actually, it was quite a big, took over half of the garden. But it didn't even entice us kids to go in and play in it. You know, it was just there. So yes, siren went and we'd go under the stairs.
And you stayed at home throughout the war?
Absolutely, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
School? Was school a place where sport was played?
Oh yes. When I left Marlborough Road, well, Roath Park, sat then the scholarship and passed to go into Cardiff High for girls, which was then in the parade in Cardiff. We were always keen on sport in any sort, and we would go to school early to play in the playground before school. We were so keen. And one stage, we had Howe Audion, which is across the road in Newport Road, was bombed. So they were farmed out to other schools. So we had girls from Howe Audion in with us. And perfect ladies, we used to play scrum with a netball. So the Cardiff High girls would be running around passing it to them, and the Howe Audions were trying to get the ball. We'd virtually end up in big scrums. And I don't know whether you know St. Trinians.
The films?
The film Trinians, yes. You know, they're scarecrows. We'd virtually go into school looking like that. Our gym slips were torn. Because if you had the ball, you had everybody trying. Perfect ladies, you can imagine being. And we played cricket in the playground before school. I was only thinking about it yesterday. I had two sort of nets at the far end of the playground. I had a couple of bats, and we had cork balls. They were quite hard, but we were allowed to play that before school.
Who provided the bats for those?
Yeah, there were a couple of bats in the school, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we, for our games lessons, we had to go quite a long way from the parade right down to Newport Road to the Harlequins, which shared with the boys, Cardiff High boys. But there was quite a long way that we had to walk every time we went there. But we did cricket there. I would play cricket. and others played tennis, but I seemed to be a played cricket. And in the winter, we played netball and lacrosse. So I carried on with cricket when I left school, and I carried on with lacrosse into clubs.
Okay. Mm. Did you have any sporting heroes as a young schoolgirl? Were there anybody that you kind of looked up
to? No. When you think about it, we didn't have television. It would only have been on the radio. And most of the time, I wasn't in. You weren't in long enough to listen. Perhaps once the nights drew in, all you had was the radio. But no, we were just doing our own thing.
And a lot of girls at the high school involved in sort of organised sport at school, playing cricket or playing lacrosse?
Well, yes, we had school, obviously had school teams and played the other schools. Not many with cricket. Howells played, and of course Howells, they had a lot of past history of women's cricket. So we played Howells, and Cattay's High had a cricket for a while. It just depended what PE teacher was there, if she had that interest. But that was all. They were the only ones we played.
And your school cricket, Jill, did you do a little bit of everything, batting and bowling? And...
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Yes, it just sort of happened. We just went along. But I was always used to go to the Harlequins to watch the Cardiff High School Old Boys had a team. These are men now, when I say Old Boys. And they used to practice at the Harlequins. And I'd just go and hang around and field the balls from a long distance. I was a little runner that went and got the balls from a long way away.
If it went for a four over the boundary or something like that, you'd go and grab the ball?
Yeah, well, they were playing in net, so it was just, yes, you know.
Okay.
Just going.
Yeah.
I mean, in school, I was only thought yesterday, we had a father's match once a year. And it depended probably at what year level you were or what fathers they could get. The fathers had to bat left-handed. And I was only thinking about it. In today's society, the women wouldn't have put up with that, or the girls wouldn't put up with that, would they? Men batting left-handed just because they might be good enough. But it was just natural to us. Oh, you know, the father's bat left-handed. We just carried on. We weren't put out about it.
I was going to ask you, was there any sense in those days about differences between boys and girls in terms of access to sport or playing sport? Did it even kind of occur to you that maybe girls were getting a raw deal as far as sport was concerned, or did you just play?
It didn't affect us at all. We, you only mixed with boys if locally in your own area, but we didn't mix with the boys. We would actually say, I can remember playing lacrosse in one area and right over the other side of the field, the boys were playing rugby, but never the twain met.
Can you tell us a little bit about lacrosse? It's not a game that I'm familiar with.
Right. Apparently, its origins are in the Red Indians in Canada, around there, that played with some sort of stick. And we played quite a lot. Need a team of 12, so that more people are involved in lacrosse. But when I left school, there was a club called Glamorgan and Monmouth lacrosse, which I joined. But again, because it was sort of a specialist game, really, we had to travel a lot. So we used to have to go to Monmouth. We played the girls at Monmouth. We went to Malvern. Royal School Bath. We used to have to go to a lot of the boarding schools played. And of course they were there then for the weekend anyway, so we would have to catch a bus or the train just because there weren't any other local clubs, only the schools, Cardiff High and Howells. So we did a lot of travelling, and we used to go once a year. They had a big tournament in London, so this was our big weekend. And we'd go in off on the train with our kit, and we had to get from Padding to wherever it was, somewhere like Motspur Park. So we would change on the train into our uniform, which was short skirts, blouse. So then we'd emerge from the train, dressed to play sticks, again looking like centurions, the girls charging them, so that we knew we were ready to play as soon as we arrived at the venue. So having got to London, and then we played, and we always then had went to the theatre, made a full day of it, and caught what was called the milk train home. So we'd get home about 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning, having had this long day at Saturday. But it was great fun.
Do you remember any of the things you saw at the theatre?
Yes, and I always think the flower drum song comes to mind, and I've never heard it or seen it being repeated. We even went to the cinema once to see Lawrence of Arabia. I can remember that.
When you left school, what were you thinking about your life then? What were you going to do next? What did you do next?
We weren't particularly well off. I had thought that I would like to join the Wrens, because I had a cousin in the Wrens, and she looked very smart in her uniform. So I thought perhaps I'd join the Wrens. I was used to uniform, because I was then running a guide company, Girl Guides. But my parents paid for me to go to Cleves College, which was for secretarial training. So I learned shorthand and typing. Just then started my life working as a shorthand typist. My first job was in the Cardiff Royal Infirmary, as I said to you, the radiotherapy department, which was quite fun. We used to have to sort of service the clinics, the outpatients. So we'd have to go down to outpatients. And at the time, because we were there, we wore white coats. So me as a newbie little shorthand typist looked very official, almost medical in my white coat, just calling their names out to come in to be seen by the doctors. So I did that for a while. And then in those days you could change jobs so easily. I think you can these days. So you'd just be changing to up your wages, your salary. So I did a few other, and I even went back to the infirmary. I was in the house governor's office. And one of the things was, in the infirmary, the big entrance, the only cars that parked there were the consultants. There was one major consultant, had a big Rolls Royce, and he always left his driving gloves draped over his steering wheel. Anyway, that's by the by. But anyway, I then had a Vespa, and I managed to park in the front because there was a little gap between the main building, the chapel, and my Vespa fitted nicely in there. So I was in amongst the consultants. I went to TWW, the first television. They were out at Poncanna. So I was there for a while. And then the Empire Games were coming.
1958?
58, the Games were. But I went in, probably 56, one of the first to go in. And so I was there for 2 years. The only thing I ever got to see was the weightlifting in Barry Memorial Hall.
What happened with your cricket? How did you, when and how did you decide that you wanted to keep playing? And how easy was it for you to find a way of playing?
Well, it just did, really, because it was really at weekends or in the summer for cricket in the evenings. So, yeah, just managed to do it all, keep going.
Was there a club available for you to join and play with?
Yes, it was. The first club for cricket was called the South Wales Women's Cricket Club. And the only thing I had of that, we had green blazers. We played the schools, and again, we would have to go to other schools, the boarding school, to play. But our base was at Blackweir, where the ambulance, before the ambulance station got there. And we did play a few of the men's teams that were based there. So we had a cop, we'd see them. And so, yeah.
Where is Blackweir, Jill? I don't
Blackweir is part of the castle grounds. Brighton, you've got the castle and then all the castle grounds and then it goes on, you know. So.
And what sort of facilities were there?
Just bare what had been old sheds of some sort. So we probably just had a bench or something, but no other facilities at all. So you would go ready, you didn't go to change, you virtually went ready to play.
What about your kit? Did you have any kit of your own, or did the club purchase kit?
No, you had to buy your own. And that was really quite expensive because they had standardised on these, today we call them skorts, but they weren't then, divided a skirt, but it was like divided into shorts. Very smart. And we had to go and pay a lot to get them from Lillywhites in Piccadilly in London. I mean, I don't know whether they're still a main sports people, but it was the sports place. So we had to, the only place you could get them was Lillywhites. So we had those three-quarter white socks and mostly a sort of an Airtex shirt, standardised.
And bats, gloves, pants?
We got our own.
That must have been quite a shopping list.
Well, that's right, yes. Sometimes, you know, if somebody came along and they didn't know, you'd lend them your bat or whatever. We'd share things.
And the other women that you played with, can you tell me a little bit about them? Who were they, and were there any particular ones that stick out for you?
Yeah, there were obviously some that came from the same school that I knew from school, but also one particularly was a friend of mine through guiding, and I brought her into it. There were others who'd come from Howell School. Apparently Beryl, she wasn't a local girl, but I don't know how she became, she was one of our standard bowlers, she was a spinner. Margaret, what school did she go to? She was quite a well-built woman, and her father, I think, was Lord Mayor once of Cardiff. They used to follow us around. And we used to, why did they go to Malvern? We went to Malvern to play, I suppose, and I know her family always came and supported. Sonia was our wicket keeper. And she was a reporter with the South Wales Echo. And, they sort of came from, some hadn't played before. They just sort of came.
And what about you as a young cricketer? Did you have a sense of what you preferred doing or enjoyed doing? Or?
No, I was sort of a fairly average. I could bat a bit, I could bowl a bit. I just did what I could. I can't say I was very good at any of it. I was fairly middling.
What did you enjoy about the game?
Oh, crumbs. I really don't think I can put that into words. I mean, I started in school, that, you know, from being kids in the street playing, we've just played games all my life, really, from little neighbours, and then going into school, those were our two main things, cricket and lacrosse. They did play some tennis, but there wasn't as much emphasis on tennis, so I didn't start tennis until I'd left school or almost finished cricket. Then I joined a tennis club, so I played tennis. That's when I got into tennis. And in the tennis club in the winter, there was badminton, so I got into badminton.
So for you, it was more about being active
and
enjoying games that had a sort of an element of competition.
All the time, yes. Yeah.
When you mentioned to people as a young woman that you played cricket, were there any raised eyebrows? Or
I think so, yes. But, do you? Right. That sort of thing. But it was becoming, I wasn't really well known. But no, I didn't have any problems. People said, I do it, I play anything.
And the men's teams you played at Blackweir, do you remember much about those games?
No, very little. I couldn't even tell you the names of the clubs. Andrew's got a picture of one of, we were at Geskeane and Nettlefold. And that's where we played a team from Surrey, I think, women's team came over. And it was interesting because they then had played cricket far more than we had, you know. They were really good cricketers. And so that was quite interesting. The first, we went into the Geskeane's club and they had a bar. And it was, we didn't go into bars or anything after playing, you know, just go home. So we were into this bar after this match with these English players. And it's the first time I'd ever seen a woman drink a pint of beer. And, you know, I felt like a little country hick.
Were there any other games that particularly stand out for you, either grounds that you played at or...?
But we did go for a few years to... They had a cricket week in Colwall in the... is it Worcestershire? Somewhere like that. So we'd go and have bed and breakfast somewhere. And you'd be put into a team at the beginning of the week. Cricketers would come from all over the place. And you'd play a different team every day. And then you'd get together in the evening in the local church hall. And you weren't even drinking then. There wasn't a bar or anything.
And these were all women cricketers?
All women. That's when we got to know some of the names of the English people, the English players. One or two of them we met at various other coaching things, because we went to Bisham Abbey, which was a central council for physical recreation, the forerunner of the national stadium here. So they had cricket weeks there, so you went along there, and cricket was your main one. And then there were other sports that you could do, archery, sailing. So they were nice holiday weeks, but the main thing was cricket. So we met some people there.
And you would take holidays from your work to go to these events?
Yes.
I've done a little bit of research, mainly thank you to Andrew and what he's written on the museum website. The Glamorgan Women's County Cricket Association was formed, I think, in around about 1950.
Yes.
Were you involved with that?
Absolutely.
You want to tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Yes. It all seems quite... When I look back on it, it looks ridiculous. Because the club, you know, it was called South Wales Women. Right? But mostly we were Cardiff and environs. No, because we did have players coming from one of our... good players came from Usk, because she went to Monmouth School. Okay. So I don't know why we wanted to set up a county. I can't quite know why. But you had to have three schools and two clubs to qualify as a county. So we had schools, we had Howells, we had Cardiff High, and we had Cattays. They played a little bit. It often depended on their PE teacher, what they played. So then we had the three clubs. Then there was us, and we didn't have another club. But for a short while, the women at RAF St Athan set up a team. So they qualified as a club. And because they did it, we were then able to qualify as a county, which we did, whatever thing we had to go around. So we were Glamorgan then. But then that only lasted about 3 years because RAF personnel moved on. Their team fell by the wayside, so we didn't qualify anymore as a county.
Was there any funding available for the organisation at the time?
We never ever thought of looking for it. You know, what would we be looking for? We were paying all our own expenses. We didn't think about it in those days. Nowadays, I think it's a thing where they're setting, where are we going to get money to set up? Never entered our minds at all. We just paid our own way.
And what was your position? What was your official position with the association? Did you have one?
Yes, somehow or other, I was captain of the county. But I didn't really have to do anything except on the match days, you know, because we all chipped in with the organisation. And there weren't many teams for us to play. There wasn't a lot of difference between the county and the club. Really. I still don't know why we did it. But I can remember we were at one match and my old PE teacher from high school was there. I'd never been her favourite. I don't know why. Because I was always terribly keen, which is surprising, really. Anyway, we were sitting there and she said... Oh yes, she said, right, and who's captain of this? And somebody said, oh, Jill is. And she went, oh, and that was it. Funny little things stick in your mind. But yes, it really was a temporary thing because there just wasn't the... there weren't any people to play.
Presumably there was no contact between you and the Glamorgan... A men's team?
None. The only contact was that we did use their nets in the winter.
Nets are very famous. Many of the cricketers of that time have written about them, including Tony Lewis.
Yeah.
What's your memories of going to...
We were before Tony Lewis.
Yeah. What's your memories of using those nets?
Flipping cold. Yes, we... I can't remember the names. We must have had some of the Glamorgan men there, I should think, bowling to us or helping, but we more or less did our own thing.
And did you have any formal coaching at all, at any stage, from school kind of, you know, onwards into your adult life as a women's
cricketer? Well, we had coaching if we went to this Bisham Abbey week. There were coaches there. But other than that, no, we just moved on from school. I was just thinking about going to these nets in the winter, and I needed a lift home. And one of our players had a Messerschmitt. Do you know what a Messerschmitt was?
No, I don't.
It was a small car. You sat side by side with your drivers, like a bubble. And they were the thing for a while. I don't know how safe they were. And
did it have a roof, a sort of
yes,
a plastic
yeah.
roof?
Yeah, it was virtually like getting into a bubble. And you sat alongside your driver, and there was nothing much there. They were only about that long.
Why was it called a Messerschmitt?
I don't know. Who made it? Because they were all, because they were a plane, you know, they were the World War
yes,
plane.
Yes, yeah, I've heard of the plane.
Because also at the same time, they had a Hankel, and that was one where you sat one behind the other, a narrow little thing. They were out about the same time.
These are German planes as well, aren't they?
That's right.
Seems unusual that we'd be naming cars after
absolutely
German yeah. manufactured planes.
It was so unusual. I'm thinking of that Hankel. It was always like the one that Sinclair came up with. Remember the Sinclair C5?
I do. Yeah.
I drove one of those. We had a big celebration for guiding in 1970-something, it was 50 years or something. And I was organising a big parade through town, through Cardiff, and with all the guiding from all over Cardiff on lorries and this sort of thing. They lent me a Sinclair so that I could nip around and see how everything was going. And they were making them, or storing them, in Merthyr, where they Hoovers made the washing machines. I don't know what they...
Yes, that. I do know the place
and
very well.
And I think the Sinclairs, it wasn't successful, this C5, but they had them there. And I know that my brother-in-law had a shooting break type thing, so he and my husband went to Merthyr, got a Sinclair into the shooting break, and I was popping around the parade in a Sinclair C5.
And the Messerschmitt, what was it like to ride in the Messerschmitt?
Well, it was a bit odd. You were so low, you know. If anything big came along, you sort of thought, my gosh. And she was a little bit of a iffy driver anyway, so I think the once was enough for me.
There's a name, I think you might have mentioned her already, Beryl Dummett.
Yes.
Do you remember Beryl?
Oh, I remember Beryl very well.
And yeah. What was her cricket like? Do you remember her as a cricketer?
The funny thing is, you didn't go into personalities when you were there. You're just sort of friends, aren't you? And she wasn't a local girl. I don't know where she came from. But she was here because she was working with the tax, income tax, I think. She was quite a short girl, but a very good spinner. She was a very good spinner, but she loved cricket, and obviously she had a lot to do with Glamorgan as a supporter, because that's how Andrew knew her.
And would she chat to you about sort of what the Glamorgan team were doing, or was
No, sorry, we had nothing to do with the men's team. On the BBC, some months back now, they showed a programme of 100 years. BBC Wales, and they actually show a bit about us in the nets and somebody interviewing Beryl. It's on the BBC archives, and they showed it last year or so, and they were interviewing because somebody's batting. Who's batting? I can't see, but they're interviewing Beryl. And I can remember her saying, of course, you know that women were the first to bowl overarm. And I can remember her saying that. I can't remember what the chap's reaction to that was. I don't know. But that's on a BBC tape somewhere.
Wow, okay. We'll have to find that if we haven't found it already.
Yes, definitely. It was within the last year or so that it came up, because I was tickled pink, yes.
How long did your playing career lasts, Jill?
It's going to be about 10-15 years. I'm really guessing now.
So towards the end of the 1950s, does that sound about right?
Yes, even a bit later than that, I think. It fizzled out, because we weren't getting any new people in, and it was harder to find people to play.
Marriage? When did you meet your husband at some point along that?
Yeah, I married quite late in life, because I was too busy playing sport. but he was an athlete, he was a runner, and I didn't meet him through that, but he represented Wales a number of times on cross-country running. I'd been playing badminton in Pennyland, where I played tennis. When I stopped playing cricket, I went to tennis. And in the winter we played badminton. That's how it all went on. I'm just remembering now, one reason why I gave up cricket was I'd hurt my knee playing badminton, playing on a slippery floor. My feet went from under me, crashed down onto my knee, and ended up having to have an op on the knee. Okay. So I was a bit afraid of playing cricket then because I wasn't that good with a bat.
Was it cartilage damage?
Or... Yeah. And I've had both knees done since. Anyway, sorry, where was I going?
You met your husband.
Oh, yes. So I was playing badminton and I got my first badminton coaching thing. And one of the colleagues in the tennis club taught in the school in Pentrebane. And the chap who was doing the badminton coaching left to go in the RAF. And in those days, there used to be an adult education evening classes. The council paid for them, and they paid for the people to run them, you know, coaches. So I took over from this chap who was leaving and arrived in to take this very first badminton session with adults, adult evening, with my knee strapped up. It was terrific, because in those days, they were, you know, in the 50s, they were a bit old then, and loads of bandages. So there I turn up in a short skirt for badminton and a great big knee. So you can imagine the impact, but anyway, that's where I met my husband. He was in the class.
When you stopped playing cricket, was there any way in which you kind of still kept in touch with the game?
Not at all. I didn't have any interest in sitting and watching it. I was a player.
Women's cricket has gone through a very slow development, perhaps in recent years has been very much on fast forward in terms of its...
Absolutely.
What has it been like for you as an ex-player of the game to see the changes in women's sport?
Immensely so, particularly seeing the hundreds, isn't it? The, you know, absolutely wonderful to watch. And I sort of think of us ladies turning out in our skirts and our socks, you know, and playing it rather genteelly compared to nowadays. I mean, there's no difference really between the men's game and the women's game. It is purely a physical thing. Isn't it? I think so.
Yeah, perhaps the men have a little bit more power.
That's right.
That they employ.
That's right. But no, it's. I often sort of think of that. Golly, that's nothing like we used to play. But there we are. We enjoyed it. It was what we knew.
There have been times throughout the, let's say, gosh, I don't know, 50, 60 years since you stopped playing that women's cricket has been in the news for one reason or another. Was it nice for you to hear about, you know, the latest perhaps women's test cricketer or the...
Absolutely, yes, because I can remember going back to our cricket week, for instance, and of course it began to get very popular, and of course Rachel Hayhoe was one of the names that came out. Well, and she was always at Cricket Week. That's when I first would have met her. And she really sort of got her foot in the door and got women's cricket a little bit more noticed, I think. But then there's no comparison with seeing them playing today. There is, because they're athletes. And of course, we're seeing on television, we're seeing the best, aren't we? I mean, there might still be small clubs where people like me were playing.
More and more, in fact.
Which is good. Mm. And you've got to start somewhere. In any sport, you've got your grassroots, and then you find the ones who are better than others and go on. And that's obviously what's happened.
You're clearly someone who not only enjoyed playing, but also perhaps enjoyed introducing others to sport and the joys of sport.
Oh, yes, yes.
What to you are those joys? What are the things that, you know, you would say to people about why doing sport can be really important or helpful?
Do you know, I really don't think that I can answer that. As far as I'm concerned, I've just enjoyed any sport that I've done, and I can't say why. But I'm going back to my childhood, when that's all we did as kids, play out anything that was going. And when you compare that with children today who come home and they're sat in front of a computer, that's a big difference of how you're brought up. In the golf club, we have this little table tennis group that meet, and I go to Craiger, and we played Radda in Whitchurch. And in Whitchurch, I met up with a friend who was one of my gang when we were young. And you know, she's come through and is still playing golf. She's playing golf and table tennis. You know, we've brought it up with us. And I feel sorry for children of today, because some of them are not being children.
Glamorgan this year, for the first ever time, will have a professional women's cricket team.
So I hear. Interesting. Very interesting.
If you had the opportunity to talk to young girls or young women who are kind of perhaps playing cricket for the first time, is there any piece of advice that you'd give them, or anything that you would say to them?
Just go and enjoy it, really. I don't think I could give them any advice, because it's in you if you want to do it. You can't make somebody do it, and you can't make them a good cricketer or a good anything. I think it's in them to start with. And it's just been in me that I've just enjoyed sport in any form.
And you're 90 years old?
I am.
When you think back now to all of your life and the part that sport played in it,
yeah,
do you still retain a lot of joy from remembering those times and remembering those games?
Oh, absolutely. And the funny things that come from it. And if I've got one or two friends, I've got that I still see occasionally. And it's, do you remember this? And do you remember so-and-so doing that? Great fun.
Do you have a funniest story, cricketing story, that you can recall?
I've had a horrible one. Well, not a hot, an awful one. Again, it was the girl who had the Messerschmitt, by the way. She was very keen, but she was no player. She wasn't a games player, but she was very keen to play cricket. So she was playing with us. We were playing at Blackweir, I can remember. And Sonia, our wicketkeeper, she was the one who worked for the Echo. And the one who was batting was absolutely hopeless. So she'd swung her bat round to hit a ball on going off on the left and missed it. Sonia had gone across to field the ball and had the bat right in her face. Dreadful. You can imagine the panic there and all that sort of stuff. She, poor thing, had a dreadful face for weeks.
Was she hospitalised? Did she have to go to hospital?
Oh, she obviously had to go to be seen. She wasn't kept in hospital, no. But she had an awful bruises at night, and it was horrendous. That's about the worst accident I can remember ever happening. But that was pretty awful. Yeah, that we used to go with, if we went on a coach ride, a friend of mine, Kath, she's still alive. Neither of us travelled well. So if we were on a coach going, say, to Malvern or somewhere to play, and they have to stop for both of us to get off to be sick. And then you get back on, get off and play the match. You know, you just did things those days. You didn't faff around.
Jill, I want to thank you very much for giving us your memories, and appreciate listening to your story. Thank you.
Well, I I hope they'll be of interest, or somebody can have a laugh about them, perhaps.
I'm sure they will, yeah.
Good, good. Lovely.
Many thanks to Jill for sharing her story with us. At the moment, I'm juggling with various episodes of the pod. We have recorded interviews about a very special cricketing artefact, and we have Sam Northeast talking about his record-breaking innings of 335 not out at Lord's last year. But coming up next, we have an interview with Mark Davis, who played one first-class game for Glamorgan before a four-year career at Gloucestershire. So do join us again when Mark will be giving us some more stories about the great game of cricket from the great country of Wales. Au revoir. Bye for now.